Morning, everyone. Now, you don't realize something, but there's all kinds of things happening in here that are behind the scenes that you don't realize. I'm looking at Travis. He's remembering to bring this up, and we're waiting for Tanya to give us the nod that it's time to come up. But really, the funniest thing that's happened so far this morning is, see, Gino gets here early, and he tries to set the clock up. I like to know what time it is in front of the seat I'm going to sit in. And so it's facing that way. And what I just keep doing is every Sunday, I just change my seat, and then I go and move it, and I look at him, and he's like, well, how am I supposed to? I let Robert in on that today. And anyway, Gino, thanks, but you'll never be able to find the right place for that clock. Well, it's been a while. You know, this I missed 3 Sundays in a row, which means it's been 27 days since the last time I was standing here before you, the wonderful congregation I have the privilege of serving. And last week I did a wedding for Holton and Brittany. They are now the Mulkeys, and we did a wedding down in Comfort, Texas. And but a while ago, you didn't know this, there was another wedding that took place, and now that they're COVID-free and everything else, Aaron and Lillian are here with us, I think first time since, and so why don't you stand up for a second. I know this is not what they like, but hey, man, give them a hand. They're married now for about 5 months? Coming up on 6, but who's counting? Yes, okay, I think that we know who's counting, yes. So good to have you guys here, and it's so good to be back. A whole bunch of stuff has happened since I've been away. The first 2 Sundays that I was gone, I was in Ghana. And what happened in Ghana, it's really interesting. I'm going to show you a video in a second. Emmanuel put it together. But I went to Ghana to, first of all, see. I don't know if you guys know, but I have officially, me and Tony have adopted Emmanuel and Precious. They are our children, which means their children are our grandchildren, and I need to go see the grandkids. And so I'm going to be going there at least once a year, and they'll be coming here at least once a year. So I went to see him, but I also had the opportunity to speak at the church at that Emmanuel and Precious started out at. It's a church called Royal House Chapel, and the pastor is very famous. He's a celebrity pastor, but in a very good way, okay? I mean that in a very good way, tremendously influential. There's about 10,000 people in the church, but they have a stadium. They have an auditorium being built up for 21,000 people. It's just about finished. And he invited me to speak at his church on Father's Day, and which I really don't understand why, but I came and I talked about the anointing of the Father, and I kind of did a message on that. But I also had the opportunity to teach on marriage. I was interviewed on a TV show. It wound up going for an hour and a half. Some of you got to see it. I think we tried to make it available to people. And then they had me come back and do the next week's show as well. And I also did, I trained their counselors. There's 100 couples that do marriage counseling in this church. And they called a special training event for me to teach them kind of the stuff I do in my marriage coaching. Jose and Tammy are here, and they go through the marriage coaching. Lillian and Aaron did as well. So it was really incredible. It was incredible. But here's what happened. I got to the airport. I was supposed to fly out on Friday night, get there Saturday, speak at Emmanuel's church on Sunday. But on Friday night, they sent me home from the airport because I had one COVID test that was right to get me into England, where I was connecting to go to Ghana, but I didn't have the right test to get me into Ghana. So I had to go home, and I couldn't make it back to the airport, get the test Saturday morning, and then fly out Saturday night. And with the right test, cost me $95. Edith will see that receipt when I turn in my expenses. And then I get to Ghana, and I have to pay $150 for another test to get into Ghana. Okay? So I think there's a lot of people making money on COVID, I think. Okay? But on Friday night, I was supposed to be in the plane, but I was in my hot tub because I didn't go. And the Lord spoke to me in my hot tub, and he said, Joe, you're about to experience some things that are going to be surprising to you. Just be ready, because I'm going to use you mightily and powerfully in this country. And it's a good thing that I heard that clearly, because when I got there, you know, you're on a TV set. Now you're being in. I wanted makeup, though. They didn't have makeup. I was like, can you put some makeup on me? You know, they wouldn't put any on me, but I remember when I got to the service on Sunday morning. Now, I'd spoken two services, and just to let you know, they are 3.5 hours each. I'm not exaggerating. The first service started at 7, and I left there, 7 a.m., and I left there at 2 p.m. 3.5 hour services. I only spoke for 45 minutes, and it's a different kind of deal. It's just a little different. The place Christ and gathering as a church, the place it plays in their lives, because they don't have as much to do, but they really have time for the right things to do. And it's a good thing that the Lord told me that, because when I walked in on that Sunday morning, I immediately realized I had the wrong message prepared. And I was like, oh no, now what? But the good news is I wasn't going to be up for over 2 hours, so I was able to reconfigure everything I did. And by the time I got up there, I was really shocked because I didn't look like any of them, okay? There were two white people in both services combined, okay? Because we're in Ghana. We're in Africa. It's a black nation, okay? And when I got up, it was like the pastor called me the professor, okay? Because I taught. And it was amazing that how God used that. I couldn't believe it. I didn't have any confidence. I didn't even have a context. I said, Lord, you told me you're going to use me. I guess you're going to. And he did. And I want you to watch a video, a short video that Emmanuel, by the way, you guys sent me. I was sent. The elders approved the trip. And so I want you to see a video that Emmanuel sent to me. Just gives you a little overview of what took place there. So let's go to the video. There it is. That's my granddaughter. That's Jessie. That's a Bible school. Incredible Bible school, very large. A couple of Emmanuel's leaders. I guess he really liked that Bible. Okay, that's the studio. No makeup, they're just putting the mic on. They're not even real bricks, all that stuff in the back. There's the training that I did. Those are their marriage counselors. This is a Sunday morning. I look pretty good dressed up. This is the outdoor seating at the place. That's little Mel Grace, my other grandchild. And that's the follow-up TV show. And that's an interview I did with someone from the LGBQT. Now, let me tell you what's going on in Ghana. The LGBQT is trying to get into Ghana. And you know who's sending them? Europe and America are lobbying to get them in. The answer is no. Because what they'll do is they'll go into the country and they will tell everyone that it's okay to act on any impulse you have. That's what they do. That's what they did here, didn't they? They hijacked us morally. It's very hard for me to get excited on the 4th of July about a nation that calls what's wrong right and what's right wrong. Very hard for me to get fired up about that kind of nation. But that's the nation we live in, and they're trying to do that there. So one of the guys in the Sunday morning when I preach, the lawyer there that is representing the nation to keep the LGBQT out, he asked me if I would do an interview with him because he said I was the first pastor that actually said that America is bankrupt morally. Because we are. We have turned aside from everything that the scriptures teach, and in the with the name of being progressive, we have moved on from the unchangeable truths of God's word. So he had me, they brought me in, that was another interview I did. And listen, when that makes the airwaves, we may have some resistance. Because I very clearly, all I did is what I do here. I talked about what the Word of God says. And it was refreshing to them because Americans go over there and act like we have it all together. But when you experience the church in Ghana, you realize we have very little to offer them. However, we're going to do a trip there next year. Okay? And so if you would like to go on a trip to Ghana, on a mission trip to Ghana, we're going to serve. By the way, Emmanuel, I couldn't make it for the Sunday service. I wasn't there in time. So they changed their Sunday service. Now, they met on Sunday morning. Now, listen to this. But they said, okay, Joe Centineo is coming, and they know I'm his father, his kind of his spiritual father. And they set up another church service on Friday night because I was speaking at the big church on the following Sunday morning, and they had a bigger turnout than they normally do on Sunday. Can you imagine if I said, hey, guys, we're going to add a service to our this week. We're going to have a service on Friday night. Be birds chirping in here, you know. Right? We're too busy. Friday night, come on, I got this, I got that. So Emmanuel, I spent the entire day on Friday with his leaders. Emmanuel is an amazing leader. Not just because he's my son, okay? You could say, you're bragging about your son, okay. He's an amazing leader. And I spent the whole day with his young leaders, and he's doing a great job mentoring him. And then I spoke at his church on Friday night in the dark, okay? They had some lights up, and there were 50 people going nuts for Jesus, and most of them are teenagers. So we're going to take a team there next year, and we're going to help him reach his people. And we're going to go to one of the services at Royal House Chapel, and you're going to see something that hopefully can... We're not Africa, okay? They're not America, but we can let a little of them rub off on us, and they let a little of us rub off on them. So I want to thank you for allowing me to go. I had an amazing time. Thanks, Brock. And if you're interested, start praying about going. If you are interested in going, then we'll put a team together, and you'll be a part of that. By the way, like these pants? Do you like them? Well, Emmanuel bought them for me. In fact, from the time I got off the plane, I never spent a penny. Emmanuel and Royal House Chapel paid for everything. I had a chauffeur, and they were going to buy some cars. They got the new one just for me. I was chauffeured in a brand new car. And hotel, food, everything paid for by the big church and by Emmanuel. I said, Emmanuel, he said, Joe, you taught me that when you host someone, you pay for them. I was like, okay, you're a good son. And all the cash I brought with me to spend at the end of the trip, I handed it to him. So, but guys, it's a great work that's happening in Ghana. We have a great young leader, and I'm talking more about it than I wanted to, but it's just good for us to know that. So now let's jump into today. We're back to revealing Jesus. Not back to it. You guys have been doing it all along. This is sermon number 7, but I wasn't here for 4, 5, and 6. So, but we've been doing this series, and even though I missed the last 3 weeks, we have not missed a beat in these sermons and teachings now, have we? Okay, because I listen in, and thank you so much to Tyler and Brock for filling in, doing such a great job in my absence. And by the way, Tyler, I don't know if he's in the room. I saw him wearing pink shorts, something about camp and stuff like that. He's back there. There you go. Hey, bud. Even though I said I wanted to teach from Hebrews 9, I got to say, Tyler, you did a great job. As good as I could have done. So I want to pick up this morning where we left off as we are looking at revealing Jesus in Hebrews, and we're going to look at chapter 10. And I want you to know this is a very powerful teaching. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. And I think the sermon's going to be powerful because of the Scripture. So I don't want to mess it up. I want to make sure that you see it for what it is, and you're going to see Jesus in this scripture this morning. So get ready. And what the writer of Hebrews is going to do is he's going to refer to the limitations of the Old Testament law, the Old Covenant. And he's going to talk about the superiority of what we have in Jesus Christ under what's called the New Covenant in the New Testament. And we're going to see Jesus revealed. So let's just open up in a word of prayer. I've done a lot of talk, and listen, I'm used to 3.5-hour services, so if I go a couple of hours over, you know, it should be expected, right? Lord, I just pray that we would see you in this passage of Scripture. You're in there, we get to see you, and I pray that you, the way you opened my eyes, to see you this past week. I pray that you would open the eyes of each person hearing this scripture this morning. Open our eyes and help us to know how to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's pick up in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. So it begins, and the writer of Hebrews tells us, and the reason I say the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it, okay? So the writer of Hebrews says, "For since the law," Old Testament Mosaic law, "has but a shadow is something that is not the real thing, is but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it," the law, "can never by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, it can never make perfect those who draw near." So the writer of Hebrews is here referring to the sacrificial system in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. And he says it was only a shadow of the good things to come. So let me explain to you the Old Testament sacrificial system. It was a system in which people would come to a priest, a human priest, and they would offer up a blood sacrifice for their sins under Jewish law. It was a bull, it was a goat, there were different animals, and you would bring it to the priest, and it was to atone for, to temporarily cover your sin. You would bring it to the priest, he would cut the animal up. There was a way to do it ceremoniously, present it to God, offer the blood as a sacrifice for your sin, and the animal would be burnt up. And these kinds of things were done, it was done on a daily basis for people who were by the temple, but on the Day of Atonement, it was done. There was a once-a-year event where the high priest offered up a sacrifice for the sins of the nation of Israel. And this was something that was done over and over and over and over and over again. That was the old. You say, "Joe, what are you talking to us about this Jewish stuff? Aren't we past that?" Past that. Those are our roots. That's where our faith comes from. Jesus was a Jew. You need to understand this, okay? These Old Testament sacrifices could never make those who draw near, who offered them, and for whom they were offered, it could never make them perfect. It was a temporary covering. It was a shadow of what was to come, verse 2, okay? "Otherwise," speaking of the fact they were offered over and over again, "would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins?" He's saying they were offered over and over again because they could never take the sins away. They were just a temporary covering, just these sacrifices, okay? Verse 3. He goes on and says, "But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." See, he's saying the fact that they were being done over and over and over again, the fact that the Mosaic law was set up for these sacrifices to be done over and over and over again, it actually is letting you know that it's just a shadow of what was to come. Because it was impossible and even silly to think that the blood of a mere bull or goat could take away the sins of a human being. It's almost silly to think that, but it was a shadow. It was pointing to something that was going to come. You see, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was designed as a temporary solution to the sin problem of humanity. Just temporary. You say, "Well, Joe, why?" You'll have to ask the Lord that. But that's how he designed the plan of redemption. Now, I want to give you an analogy that I think can help you to understand this. And I want to use COVID as the analogy. So we have a problem. We have a disease. And by the way, in England, I had to wear masks everywhere in Africa. And there are other places that are not as vaccinated as we are, that are having to really continue to deal with all the precautions. So, but when COVID was really here strong, we what did we do to battle it? Well, we do the best we can. We washed our hands a lot, right? Remember? All soap. Remember, you couldn't get soap. We washed our hands. We wore masks. We social distance. And we even take a vaccine to avoid getting this horrible virus called COVID. But imagine if there was a perfect cure. Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be better? I mean, we got to do what we have to do. Still wash your hands. You know, if you're in a place where they're asking you to wear a mask, wear it, social distance. Get the vaccine. I got the vaccine. Get the vaccine. Do anything you can to avoid getting COVID, but I would prefer a perfect cure, wouldn't you? Okay. Let's continue, verse 5. Okay. We're going to come back to that. It says, consequently, when Christ came into the world under the old covenant, under the time of these sacrifices being offered, remember when Jesus went into the temple and flipped the tables because the money changers were there and they were selling? It was because people were going to the temple. The money exchange was so they can buy an animal to offer as a sacrifice for their sins. So Jesus came into the world while the old covenant, the Mosaic law, was in operation. Okay? So, it says, consequently, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings, speaking of these Old Testament sacrifices, you, God, have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. So the writer of Hebrews is reminding us of a dialogue between Jesus and his Father, in which Jesus had already recognized that sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings, sin offerings, the offerings of animals, you have not desired or taken pleasure. It was just a shadow. But he says, Jesus says, but a body you have prepared for me. He was speaking of his own body. Jesus was speaking of his own body, because what was a shadow, those Old Testament sacrifices, was about to become a reality. Okay? Verse 7. Okay. Then Jesus says in verse 7, then I said, behold, Father, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So Jesus tells his Father, you haven't desired these animals, they're a shadow. You have prepared a body, it was his body, miraculously conceived in the womb of a virgin named Mary. A body now was prepared. Jesus began his ministry, he was 30 years old, and his body had been prepared to be the final sacrifice. Okay, so let's just continue. Verse 8. When he said above, when Jesus said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. These animals, these sacrifices, all this stuff, it's not what you desired. You put it in place temporarily, but now you prepared a body. Here I am. And Jesus says to the Father, I now have come with the cure. Not the washing the hands. By the way, I'm not talking about, when I say don't wash your hands, I'm not talking about how to handle COVID, okay? I'm making the analogy. He says, this was all a shadow, but I have come to do your will. He does away with the first being the Old Testament, the law, the covenant. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Jesus was now doing away with the old covenant and establishing the new covenant. Okay? Verse 10. By the way, Hebrews is a deep book. So you've got to hang in there. But when you get it, you get it. Okay? So just hang with me. Verse 10. But I think you're with me. I know you are. Verse 10. And by that will, Jesus' willingness to allow his body to be offered, and by that will, we believe, have been sanctified, cleansed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Wait a second here. There's a lot going on here, isn't it? Okay, there were these sacrifice, these things that were being done. They were a shadow. They weren't the reality. God didn't even desire them. He wanted them, but to point to Christ. Christ comes, and then Jesus says, "Hey, you didn't want the, you wanted a body. Here I am to do your will." And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ didn't temporarily, it once and for all cured sin. You see that? Okay. You can get excited a little bit. You don't have to, but I think, listen, I think we Americans, we show excitement differently. You know what we do? We like, oh, like, wow, things explode in our head. In other contexts, people yell and scream, and there's not right or wrong. It's just different. But I know you're getting excited because you're realizing, because the ramifications of what we're teaching here are the basis for us knowing that we're going to be with the Lord. Bruce, we're praying that we find a kidney for you. Bruce needs a kidney. Is it okay to talk about it? So if he doesn't find a kidney, he probably won't last a year. But Bruce, I think you're going to, I've been telling you that I feel like the Lord has showed me that you're going to get a kidney. I think I know where it's going to come from, but I could be wrong. But all I know is this, Bruce, whatever happens, there's something guaranteed. This sermon is going to underline it like 50 times. The fact that everything is looking great, is looking great. Because I know Bruce knows the Lord. He knows Jesus. He has the cure. We're going to try and get that kidney fixed or maybe get you a new one. Gino, could you help out? You've got three. You have three kidneys. Come on, give them one. Guys, would you pray with me? Can we go to prayer as a church for Bruce to find a kidney donor? Can we do that? Okay. I'd like to see some follow-up. Travis, would you help with that? Can we make sure that this becomes, I want this to be something that we as a church pursue. Every one of us. And we're going to just ask, we're going to drive you crazy. Did you find a kidney yet? Not yet. Find a kidney. And he's going to be a little, let me die. Lord, take me. These people are driving me crazy asking me these questions. No, we're going to go to battle for you as a church. But whether you get it or not, we know that we win. Okay. So let's get back to the scriptures. Back to the old covenant. I want to keep going. Verse 11. Listen. Okay. The scriptures are, guys, they are powerful. And the deep ones, you read it, you can't get it. But that's why people like me and Tyler and Brock and Travis and Gino, that's why we're here to study and help you understand. Look at verse 11. Back to the old covenant. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They can never cure sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because the work was finished. The priests are standing every day, annually, the big sacrifice, the high priest would go in, but every day they were doing this over and over and over and over and over again. But when Jesus came and offered his own body, after it was over, he sat down at the right hand of God because the work of atoning for sin was complete. Done. Done. Paid in full. Verse 13. He says, waiting from that time, when he sat down, until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Verse 14. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Do you understand that what Christ did on the cross, it has caused us to be perfected. Are we perfect? Reed, you perfect? Madison's like, no way. But do you know that God sees you as perfected because he looks at you through a lens of Jesus Christ? He looks at all of us as believers in Christ through the lens of Jesus Christ, so he sees us as perfect. We just have to live up to who we are. It's not even who we want to be. It's who we are. We just have to live up to it, okay? So by a single offering, just one, Jesus perfected for all time those who are being sanctified, who believe in him. Now, I want to do a comparison here. I bet they have a slide for this, of the old covenant sacrifices and the new covenant sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And there it is, okay? And under the old covenant, we have many human and sinful priests. Under the new covenant, we have one perfect high priest, Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, we have many offerings over and over and over again. Under the new covenant, we have one offering, the body of Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, they receive temporary cleansing of sin. Under the new covenant, we are perfectly cleansed. Under the old covenant, it was for a limited time. Had to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. Under the new covenant, it was once for all time. Verse 15. Let's just keep going. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, the Holy Spirit was in on this too. It was God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit was right there. After saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Huh. This is what happens when you have the cure. It's a covenant that was made, the new covenant, and God's laws are now written on our hearts and our minds because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, okay? Listen, do you know why we don't need a law, a written law, an external law to tell us what to do? Because you and I have the Holy Spirit, the internal Spirit lives within us, guiding and directing us into all truth. I remember when I was a youth pastor, students would come to me, Joe, can I listen to secular music? Is it right or wrong? And foolish as I was at that time, I would answer them. I'm not going to tell you what I answered, but I was pretty conservative. And I was in a church that seemed to think that a lot of things were wrong, that the Bible doesn't really say wrong. I would answer those questions. And, Joe, should I be going? This was a big thing. Should I be going to see R-rated movies? Well, how old are you? Well, I'm 17. Okay, so, and I would answer them very foolishly, answering them. Because I was putting them under an external law, and it was my law, the law of the youth pastor, of Joe Centineo. You know how I answer questions like that now? Because for me, I personally don't listen to secular music. I'll watch an R-rated movie, but not if there's nudity in it. I don't want to be involved. But the Holy Spirit is in me to guide and direct me into the things that I should and shouldn't do. My son, JoJo is writing songs now, and he said, Dad, you want to invest in one of our songs? And I was like, yeah. So me and Chris invested in one of his songs. I didn't even listen to the words of it. And I know my son, and it's fine. Actually, I did listen. It's a pretty good song, but it's a secular song, okay? But it's written and sung by Christians. But here's the thing. I would make sweeping, that's what you call an external law, that the internal Holy Spirit, we don't need any external laws. You know what I say to someone now? Joe, should I be doing this or that? I say, why don't you ask the Lord? Why don't you see how you feel, how the Holy Spirit is responding inside you, and you'll know. Because something for me, I don't listen to secular music really because I just love worship music. And I don't really, I don't care if it's on, I could care less. But it has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has to do with the calling in my life. I know Robert here is a classic rock fan. Have at it. That's between you and God. When you do that, and it's like, no, I love the music. It's great. Who am I to tell you why? Listen, we don't tell people what to do anymore because the Holy Spirit's. Now, if they want to like connive and twist the Holy Spirit into doing what they want, that's between them and God. But when a person has the Holy Spirit, I just say, hey, man, I wouldn't even worry. I just ask the Lord to show you. It's superior. God's laws are written on our hearts and our minds through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. Now look at verse 18. It says, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. The fact that we've been forgiven, there is no need to have any human priest offering up sacrifices for our sins. And I will tell you this, the Catholic Church has, I was raised Catholic, and they do ring that bell in the service. I don't know if you've ever been to a Catholic service. When they take communion, they ring the bell, and at that point, they're teaching. It's called transubstantiation, and they believe that the bread and the wine turn into the literal body of Christ. And in a sense, I'm a fan of the Catholic Church. I'm not against the Catholic Church, but some of their theologies, in a sense, they are re-sacrificing Christ over. And then we come up and take the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, they're forgetting it was once for all. It's done. It doesn't have to be done anymore. His sacrifice is once for all time, and it's sufficient. Okay? And I'm not bashing anyone or anything. But there is no need to offer up sacrifices for sins. There's no need to go to a priest, confess our sins to a priest. We go to the high priest, Jesus Christ. And we confess our sins to the Father through the Son as the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. This is what we have. This is what the Scriptures teach. Okay? So we have been forgiven and cured from sin. We're forgiven. We have the cure. So again, I'm not saying to do this when it comes to COVID, but figuratively, there is no need to wash our hands spiritually, to take a COVID test spiritually, to social distance, to wear a mask, to take a vaccine. I'm not speaking about COVID. You want to do all those things, go for it, okay? But what I'm saying is, when it comes to the forgiveness of our sin, we have access to the cure, and it's Jesus Christ. And when you have received Jesus Christ, you're cured. Okay? So what does this mean for all of us? Let's just look at a few more verses. Verse 19. He says, therefore, which is he's going to tell us what it means. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And I need to refer and jog your memory a second. Do you remember I told you early on the high priest once a year would go into the most holy place in the temple, which represented the presence of God on earth, and he would offer up a sacrifice. If the hearts of the people weren't right, he would offer the sacrifice up, God would reject it, and he would be struck dead. Okay? Only the high priest was able to enter the Holy of Holies. It was in the temple, and it represented the dwelling place of God on earth. Only the high priest can go there. And again, it was a dangerous place to be. But listen. It says, therefore, brothers, he's speaking to us, sisters, since we have confidence to enter what? The holy places? You mean we can go in there now? Yes. Why? By the blood of Jesus. You see that? We now have confidence to enter the holy places, the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. The curtain is what blocked the entrance into the Holy of Holies. But the curtain, you remember when Jesus died, it was torn in two. And the way access to God was made available. Let me just keep reading these. Just you got to see this. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. His body is what tore. When his body died, that's what tore that curtain that blocked people from getting into the presence of God. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. You know what that is, Travis? That's relationship. It's what we've been talking about. We have access to relationship with him, with God, through the blood of Jesus. We can actually draw near. You don't have to just listen to me talk about how God speaks to me in the hot tub. And other, by the way, the hot tub has now jumped into, it's my number one place of hearing from God. The hammock in the greenhouse is close, but the hot tub is first again. It's back there. But you don't have to just say, wow, I'm really glad I have a pastor that hears from God. You can draw near. I tell you about my experiences with God so that you'll know that you can have the same. It's there. He did it for you. I'm reading it to you right here. We're reading it. Let us draw near. Let us take advantage of the relationship. Listen as we continue. Let us draw near. How? With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's speaking of all that we have in Christ. He says, verse 23, listen, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Guys, we have a relationship. We have the opportunity to draw near to who? To God. You can draw near to him. You need answers? Don't ask me if you should watch a movie or listen to mute or whatever it is. Ask him, because you can draw near and he'll show you. He'll show you exactly what he has for you because he knows you in and out, and you can draw near and have that relationship. How do you do it? With a true heart. Okay? Don't just say, all right, I'm going to test it out. God, which stock should I invest in this week? And then if you don't hear anything, hey, see, it doesn't work. Or maybe you hear something, but the stock goes down, it tumbles, and you see it's not. Guys, with a true heart. What do you want from God? Why do you want to get close to him? You know why I want to get close to him? Just to be there. Because there's not, Bruce, I'm going to tell you. I don't know if you got 10 months, 10 years, or 20 years. But I will tell you this. In this life, drawing near to him, there's nothing like it. When this life ends, we get to be with him. I don't want you to be surprised what it's like to be him when you get there. Be with him when you get there. I want you to experience now. Why? It's available. It's available. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith. It doesn't mean perfect faith. But you know how I show full assurance? When I'm doubting and I go out at 11:15, I'm doubting, I'm questioning, I'm discouraged, and I walk out of my house and I get in the hot tub, that's full assurance of faith. You know why? Even though I'm not feeling it, I'm still seeking him. That's how you show. That's full assurance. It's like no matter how I feel, I'm going to do the things that look like faith. See, I would never go in a hot tub, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for being able to meet with God. Especially when it's like 100 degrees, okay? But I go there because I have full assurance that God, I can meet him. He can speak to me. There is nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Our hearts are sprinkled clean. Stop feeling shame. Shame is from the enemy. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, but we're forgiven. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Joe, I'm not good enough. Well, you never were going to be good enough. You don't have to be good enough. He did it for you. He did it. It's his blood. Our bodies are washed with pure water. We're to take advantage. So here's what it means. We are to take advantage of what Christ has done for us and allowing us to draw near to him because our sins are forgiven through the offering of his body and blood. Just three more verses. Verse 23. Actually, we read verse 23. Verse 24. Here's another thing. So number one, we draw near. Number two, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So here's another thing we do. We inspire, just like Brenton said, you said it. I was supposed to send you my sermon so that you can line it up. I forgot. I apologize, but you did it. We have each other, and what do? We spur one another on to love and good deeds. Bruce, that's what I'm doing this morning. We're stirring you up. We're going to tell you we are with you. We're behind you. We're beside you. We're underneath you. Don't step down on me too hard, you know. And we're going to be there with you and for you. That's what we do. We come alongside each other, and we stir each other up to love and to good deeds. And then he says in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together. Huh. Attendance a little low today. Oh, it's 4th of July, okay? Not neglecting to meet together. Listen, if someone's on vacation, that's fine. But you guys know that the casual approach we have to church. But you don't go to church, the church gathers. I don't want you to think of you're not going to church. You're gathering with a group of believers in a local family, in a church. We go, we are the church. We gather and we encourage one another, but we don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. It was even happening back then. You know, what time is it? You know, it's, I don't know, I think they got, you know, it's 6:15 a.m. I'm going to sleep until 6:30, you know. And this is back in the New Testament. They were neglecting. Why would he write this? He said, it's the habit of some. You're neglecting meeting together. I'm good. I don't need anything. You may not need anything, but people need you. And a lot of times we do need each other. And it says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see the day drawing near? I sure do. I sure do. I see a world collapsing around us. The day is drawing near. So as I close this morning, worship team, you can come on up. Jesus is revealed in Hebrews 10 as the high priest with the better sacrifice, and as the initiator of a better covenant. And I hope those words actually mean something to you now. Once and for all, the price for sin has been paid by Jesus under the new covenant. Are you taking advantage of it? Are you taking advantage of all that offers to you? Are you drawing near to God? Okay. Are you holding fast to your hope? Are you stirring each other to love and good deeds? Are you making the meeting together a priority? Not get the term go to church. Get it out of your head. You don't go to church. You go to a building. This happens to be the place where the church gathers. That's all you do. You gather with the people. And are you encouraging one another? I hope you are. So here's how we're going to end the service, because the guys have told me that they've been doing some of this stuff. By the way, you want to go deeper? Grab the study guide there in the back, table back there to help you go and see a little more of this amazing scripture that we just read. Did I mess it up? Did I get in the way of it? Or were you able to see the truth of God's word? And I'm really not looking for, here's what I'm looking for. I want to make sure that you saw what he gave us. Because I saw this on Wednesday and Thursday. I was like, oh my gosh. I came out and I said, Gino, it's going to be powerful. Not the sermon. I don't even have any stories. I had a little COVID example, right? It's the scripture. And all I want to know is that I was able to communicate in a way that you get it. You got it. And if you got it, then listen, then you got it. It's not my message. It's the new covenant initiated by God. Jesus took his body. He said, man, you're tired of this animal blood and sacrifice and the blood of bulls and goats. You didn't want that. That was a shadow. And Jesus said, Dad, Daddy, you gave me this body. It's yours. And God crushed him. Crushed him. And the blood came out from his body. And it appeased, it satisfied God's wrath against sin. And when we believe in him, then God looks to us. And he sees us through. He sees you through the lens of Jesus. I know you're a little rough around the edges. Actually, you're an amazing young man of God. Dad's saying yes. We're all rough around the edges. You're way ahead. But what I'm saying is this. You're not perfect. You know you may struggle with this thing or that thing. But Reed, I want to tell you something. That God looks at you and he sees a perfect young man because he sees you through Christ. And I've seen you change. And you're continuing to change. But listen, you do it not because you're trying to earn God's favor. You do it because you have God's favor. And you just become, Reed, I believe you're going to be a leader. I know you are. Reed, I just want to talk to you a second, okay? You're a leader. Reed, you are meant to lead people. I'm not saying you're going to be a pastor. I'm not saying you're not. But I'm just saying, you know what a leader is? It's someone who has people follow him. And Reed, people follow you. And when you, as you continue to grow in your relationship with Christ, people will follow because they see you. And I want you to walk in that destiny. I want you to become that man. It's not going to be hard. You just have to say, God, I'm yours. God, show me what you want to do. You're an athlete. You're a very good athlete. Always been a great basketball player. I want nothing to do with you on that court. Neither does your dad. He still thinks he's better than you, but he's got nothing on you. And you know what he does, Reed? Everything that you love, he uses that. And that's how you make a difference in the world. You just be who he made you to be, and you're going to be doing the things you love, and you do it for him. Reed, maybe you and maybe you can tag your dad along, and you can go to Ghana with us next year and see something that you've never seen anything like it. But I just want to say that, Reed, I believe that God has his hand on you. He always has. Walk in it. And for every one of us, there's something he has for us to do. Let's walk in it. Amen? Okay. So I want to close in prayer. I'm sorry I messed it up, but we don't have time. But I'm supposed to let you guys pray with each other. And then I'm supposed to have you come up. But I went past the time. But you know what you can do? As soon as we say amen, you can pray with each other. Maybe someone's going to go pray with Bruce and someone with Reed, and you can do it. But it'll be after we say you're dismissed. Lord, this scripture is not with no reason and no purpose. It's powerful, powerful. And when we understand it, we live differently. Lord, help us to draw near and to come together and inspire and encourage each other to love and good deeds. In Jesus' name, amen.